You know, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That speaks well, don't it? See, your presence here this morning speaks well. That gives you a good report, even in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Now, let's turn in the Bibles in the book of Matthew. Matthew 15. We appreciate so much being with you. You're a good pastor. We fell in love with him out in Oklahoma, and we have prayed for him and had him on our mind quite often since that time. And it was a real treat when he called and said I could come by and be with you in the services. Amen. He has learned a lot about me. I mean, exceeded great deal about me, and still let me come. Amen. All right. Now here in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, we find here he's speaking of some servants that go out in the field, the vineyard to work. And one thought there, wonder as we go along with these servants, could we identify with them? Could we identify with them? Find our place somewhere along the way with them? I believe that it would be good if we do that. Let's see. Hold on. We have patience with me here just a minute. Let me get this ciphered out just where we want to be. Preacher, where is that scripture where it talks about the servants going out in the... Oh, it's 20 instead of 15. I didn't miss it much, did I? I just got real close. Yeah, here we are. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into the vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Went out about the third and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. I believe that's as far as we'll read. Now, we want to notice here that there are some of these servants, they go to the vineyard to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. They rise early. It's something about early rising that's a real benefit, isn't it? Don't you enjoy getting up real early? I'll tell you something here that you won't believe. In fact, I can tell you a lot of things you won't believe. You believe that? Amen. I was lying in bed one morning about 10 o'clock as sincerely, humbly as I knew how. I said, Lord, what would you have me to do today? He said, get up. Someone said, I don't believe the Lord talks to people. Well, maybe he don't. He talks to people that will listen to him. That's who he talks to. And sometimes he'll tell you some things you don't want to hear. You ever have him speak to you, tell you something you didn't really want to hear? Well, anyway, now we find that some go to work maybe at 6 o'clock in the morning, real early. And then we find that some go to work maybe at 9 o'clock. And then some along about noontime. And then some about 3 in the afternoon. And then some go to work about 5. And then in the evening, when they receive their pay, all of them receive the same amount. Let me ask you a question right here. Will you be real honest with me? Will you be real honest with me? Which shift would you take? Now, the thing, keep in mind, one goes to work maybe 6 o'clock in the morning while it's still dark. And then others go to work at 9. Others go to work around noontime. Others go to work around 3 o'clock. And last of all, some go to work at 5, 1 hour before quitting time. It takes a good long break and gets paid first. Same amount that the man servants that work from Candle Cane. Sincerely in your heart, soul, and mind, which will be your choice? You don't have to respond to me, but in your mind, which shift would you take? Would you really, really feel impressed to take the 5 o'clock shift? Going to get the same amount of money. Now we find that there's only one penny involved. The one that works the 12 or more hours, he's going to get a penny. And then the one that works 1 hour or less, he's going to get a penny. And we find that the parable kind of revolves around that penny. We will look at that penny for just a little bit, see what we can get out of it. First of all, I want to say really, sincerely, I don't believe that he's referring to being birthed into the family of God. And I give you a little reason why that I don't believe he's really talking about being birthed into the family of God. Works are involved. And, I mean, it's just out of the question. You could never work well enough or long enough to earn your way into heaven. You just couldn't do that. I mean, the works alone rules it out. Could be talking about something else. Not of works of righteousness which you've done, but according to his mercy, saved you by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourself, gift of God. We are his workmanship, created unto good works, which were before ordained of God, we should walk in them. But far as being saved, you leave the grace of God out of salvation, you don't have no salvation. You just don't have no salvation. Oh, and then another thing that kind of rules that thought out is this. Really, to be honest with you, it's too cheap. Now think about this. I wasn't worth a penny. God knew I wasn't worth a penny. Or when he looked at me, all he saw was dust. At my very best, he saw dust. What kind of a value could he put on that? It's too cheap. One penny is too cheap to refer to salvation. Listen, dear beloved, I wasn't worth a penny, but he gave me a whole lot more than a penny. Yes, I became an heir of God, joined heir of the Lord Jesus Christ, access to everything that the Lord himself has access to. Can't explain the value that he placed on us. More than a penny, too cheap. And then another thing that rules it out is this. After a while, it may take a long span of time, but after a while, a penny will cease to be. I mean, a penny, even the Bible speaks of gold, though it be tried with fire, will perish. But you see, a penny is going to perish. But we'll never perish. When we've been there, good people, for 10,000 years, no less days, to say God's praise when we first begun. So it kind of rules that out. And then another thing, beloved, I don't believe it could be referring to is this, and that is rewards. I'll just mention one thing in regards to rewards. There again, it's too cheap for a reward. I believe the least is going to receive more than a penny in regards to the reward. Don't you? I remember several years ago visiting an elderly preacher. He was on up in his 90s, not near as old as I am, but he was way on up. And he said, Earl, he said, I'm so glad that you came by to visit with me. He said, except my niece, her husband, very seldom anybody ever comes by to see me anymore. And he'd been preaching for a number of years. And I got to thinking, after I heard his compliments and after I heard his testimony and fellowship with him for a while, he said this. Heartbreaking. He said, you know, I feel like an old worn out horse that's just been worked to death. Took out on the backside of the pasture, whipped, and left to die. And not too long after that, it went on being born. I got to think about that. Do you think, my lovely Lord, when the rewards are being passed out, would give him a penny? It's just too cheap. The penny is just too cheap to be a reward. Well, now, what's he got in mind here? Well, as I look at this passage of Scripture, I see some of them that's undergoing a trial. And the Bible does say, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some say, strange things happen unto you. There is trials in the Christian life. There is trials in the Christian life. There's storms in the Christian life. Mountains to climb in the Christian life. Heartaches in the Christian life. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man that warreth then take himself with the fire of this life. Now this man that goes to work it. We'll say 6 o'clock in the morning. He works all day long and bears the burdens and the heat of the day. And we find that he receives the same thing that the servant receives. It's only worth 1 hour. How's that going to affect him? Now the one that works 1 hour gets the same amount. I mean, he can leave shouting the victory. Look at me. Something wrong with these other servants. They're not producing. They're not making progress. They probably gonna lose their job. I'm secure. Look what I've done in 1 hour that they couldn't do in 12. He's all right. But then I'm asking something. This dear man that worked 12 long hours or maybe longer, and he is placed way back in the back. How's it going to affect him when this man that worked 1 hour comes up and gets his pay first and gets the same amount? How would you feel about that? Would you feel like that you've been cheated? Would you? Would you feel like, humanly speaking, you wasn't really appreciated? Makes me think of the waitress. This dear man gave the waitress 4 pennies and 1 nickel. And she said, I don't understand that. I said, tell me what this means. He said, you're not worth a dime. Don't you think maybe he could hear the other servant saying, the reason he's placed way in the back, going to get paid last, he's not worth a dime. Now that wouldn't be encouraging, would it? Because you shout the victory when talk like that was going on in regards to you. Not worth a dime. He worked all day, bore the burdens in the heat of the day, but he's pushed way back. Now, he has a problem. He's under a severe trial. Let me ask you a question. Do you think in his mind that he's real eager to go to work the next day? I don't either. I believe it. He said, I doesn't work my last shift. Well, now, let me look at it like this. How can he cope with this? Here we see him all along, back on the line, so to speak, isolated, and his thoughts are not pleasant. I'll guarantee you his thoughts are not pleasant. He's murmuring. He's complaining. And the Bible does say, do all things without murmuring and disputing. You may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine the light of the world. Now, he's not living in that scripture. How can he be content way back there in isolation? All the other servants that stepped up front, got their pay, go merrily on their way, and finally, when he does arrive there, expecting to receive more, but no, just the same amount. I'm thinking he has a problem being content in the back of life. Now, we'll think about some things that will help him to be content in the back of the line. Well, number one, look at it like this. Would you not agree that it's exceeding good to be anywhere in the line? I mean, if you never get paid, it sure is good just to be in the line. If you never get a nickel, never get a dime for your service, man, it's just good to be somewhere in the line. I'm glad I'm saved, don't you?
Amen.
Anywhere in the line would be a whole lot better than being in hell. I guarantee you it would. Oh, and then another thing that will help him, I believe, is he back there in isolation. Not only just good to be in the line anywhere, but remember that God is the one that put him back there. I find it in my own life down through the years, if I can just accept God's location for myself. That is good for you. I don't know who taught you, Brother Jerry, but you're no good preacher. Your dad. We give you all the credit. Amen. Amen. Listen, beloved, godliness with contentment is great gain. Every servant of God should be content with their location, with their calling, with their wage. Everything that God provides for, they should be content. You go on if you got that contentment. A little song that we sometimes sing along the way somewhere goes something like this. House and land I may not own, wealth or riches to be known. Little person then as well I may be, but I claim Jesus for that's all. Some folks live on wealth and pride. I am poor but satisfied. Great Jehovah owns the world, don't you see? Underneath his loving wing, happy as can be. I claim Jesus first. That's enough for me. Oh, how precious is his grace when you know the time and place. You quit this world of sin down on your knees. Once he caught my fallen soul, now it's better felt than done. I claim Jesus first. That's enough for me. He don't owe me anything. Years ago, our youngest daughter was out preaching in the streets. I'd preach and she'd sing and she'd get the money. We're way up in the Carolinas and we'd kind of working our way back down towards home, preaching in the streets. And I looked down at my little gas head on my car. It told me how much gas I had. It's sitting on normal, empty. And I said to her, I said, Wanda, sweetie, I reckon I could borrow a little money from you, get some gas, go home with. Oh, she said, yeah. She gave me the money. We're going on down the road a ways, and she tucked in my coat. She said, Daddy. I said, yeah, honey. You know that money you borrowed from me? I said, yeah, I really appreciate that. That again, so she smiled and said, you don't have to pay it back. He don't owe me anything. I mean, my Lord's not in debt to me. What about you? You feel like he's in debt to you? Just a work of faith, the labor of love. Do things because you love him. Contentment. Contentment. Contentment with his provision. If you're content with his provision, how can you be dissatisfied? No way. If you're just content with what he does, appreciate what he does, take care of it. Regardless of where you're at. Although he's out back there in isolation, if he just be content, what God does for him, he has potential of being far beyond the other servants. You sure does? You sure does? Oh, and then another thing that will help you to be content back there, and that is this, have the heart of a servant. Over there in the book of Luke, you remember on one occasion, he said something about this servant. He goes out early in the morning and he plows and feeds the cattle all day long. At the close of the day, he goes in and he doesn't recline, he doesn't feast. He goes in and serves his master. And then in return, the master says nothing. Don't even say thank you. Now, you got to have the heart of a servant. Serve all day and no appreciation. No wage. No recognition. Just say nothing. I mean, he don't even so much as say, appreciate it. The Lord said, likewise, you, when you've done your best, say we're unprofitable servants, only done that, which was our duty. Now, if he got that heart of a servant, he'd be content. He can meditate upon that scripture, in your hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entails himself with the fire of his life. Did man please him. Concentrate on pleasing him. I'm a laboring for him. It's him living in me that brings satisfaction. Look at Paul there for a moment. Paul, I mean, he had a battle with sin and other things, and he come to this conclusion. He said, I'm just dead. I die so Christ can live. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live of the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I bring contentment. I die, he lives. Amen. So if this servant back there, if he'll just entertain some thoughts like that, he can have peace. Some of the most blessed experiences you ever had, just say, he's the potter, I'm the clay. You're alone. You're alone, all right. You're alone, all right. Amen. Oh, and then not only so, dear beloved, but we find that he gets his contentment from the Lord, and he realizes that he's not really worth what he's getting paid. Now think about this. If his heart is in the mind of the Lord Jesus, and the Bible does say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You have that mind, what can offend you? Let me ask you a question right here. How much does it take to offend you? I hesitate to say this, but a friend, one time we was in a camp meeting up in New York, and this great big pre-vote bus pulled in up there, and we slipped out there, and it was open. We slipped in, hid back in the closet. And when he cranked it up, we was in there. We took off. Without even an invitation. Didn't even have an invitation. Just called him up. And we rode around with him for, oh, a couple of years, I guess. And my friend stayed with him longer than that. We pulled into this fuel station one time, and he went in to pay the bill. And they said to him, "Who are you hauling? Who are you hauling?" Well, he said, "Can't tell you. If I tell you, I'll lose my job." And hear me? We were so poor, we couldn't even pay for the air that went in the tires. And this friend of mine, I'm serious, people, he was the most dedicated person I ever knew. I said, there's got to be something about him that will get to it. Got to be something that will offend him. I couldn't find it. I'd tell lies on him, but it didn't work. Steal his money, that didn't work. Steal his shoes, that didn't work. I gave up. No way. Well, he passed on and went on to be with the Lord and got out of the bus. And my friend told me, what on the bus, he told me, he said, "Earl, you did succeed. You did offend him." I said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it." He said, "You did." He said, he was standing there brushing his teeth. And I stepped up beside him and I said, "Marvin, that's a toothbrush Earl used." "Throw that toothbrush away! Ajax and everything." He said, "He's still spitting," when it went on him. "How about the taste of offend you?" "That little thing like a toothbrush. Offend the giant." Amen. Oh, Lord. I guess sometimes we're not as macho as we think we are, huh? But if this man here, if he'd just been content with whatever God does, had no trouble. Had no problem. In closing, now let's think about this. One other thing, several other things that we could mention, but one other thing that we'll mention to you this morning, and that is, if he, although he's back there in isolation, although to him he's been mistreated, if he will set his affections on things above, he'd make it. Good people, I'll be honest with you, unless we set our affections on things above, there's enough in this life to pull us under. Enough in this life to pull us under. I was out in Houston one time, and this man was a pilot, airplane pilot. And he said, "You know, Earl, once we get that plane airborne, we get near our destination," he said, "there's a danger, making shipwreck." He said, "What we do," he said, "when we start to set that plane down," he said, "we never look back." Now, think about this. If I was sitting in talking distance of that plane and that pilot, and he's setting that thing down, and he turned back and looking directly at me, bragging on me, I'd say, "Let's wait." Would you? "Please, let's wait. As bad as I need you to brag on me, let's wait." "Let's wait till we get on the ground. Get out of this place. And then you brag on me." Oh, and he said, "We never looked back," and he said, "we never looked down." The experience I had when I tried to learn to ride a bicycle, if I had my affections set on something out there, straight down the road, I could pretty well keep it in the road. But if I looked off or looked down, that's where it landed. Briar patch, a mud hole, that's where it landed. So, listen, dear beloved, he said, "We never looked back. We never look down." But what we do, we get us an object beyond the airstrip. Focus in on an object beyond the airstrip. Focus in on that. And he said, it's amazing how how safely and how easy we can land. Please, people, keep your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Amen. Keep you from having shipwreck. Now, if you get in that plane, the pilot, he gets off course just that much. Say he's going from Chicago to Los Angeles. Probably get to Los Angeles, all right, but for the most part, he'll miss the airport. Be rough landing. But if you keep your affection on things above, you hear him say, well done. Good, faithful servant. Thank you. Been faithful over a few things. Make you ruler over many. Now, I said that to say this. There's many benefits, I beloved, and setting your affections on things above. But I want to mention one thing that this servant back there thinks he's been mistreated. Thinks they've been hard with him. If he will set his affections on things above and not on things on the earth, he'll see another line. The Bible teaches the first shall be last. He was first to go to work, last to get paid. What does that tell us? First up there. You never lose anything by giving it all to the Lord.